Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I can't do the multilingual open the way Steve Jones does, but I'll just say hello. Kevin Herr, Bob Buhner in the Sunbury Motors Studio East, filling in for the vacationing Steve Jones all this week. Have some great conversations on the way. Doug Birdsong of the Bucknell Bison Sports Network will be joining me in studio tomorrow. And Joe Susan of the Bison football team, the head coach, will join us as well on the Steve Jones Show. Also hope to talk a little bit more high school football tomorrow afternoon as well. That's the one nice thing when Steve is out. We can chat a little bit more about high school football, and all the practices across the state of Pennsylvania will get underway next week, the official start of high school football season. We talked to Coach Jim Kaiser in the last hour of the Danville Ironmen. One of the things we chatted about with Coach Kaiser was not only the success of the Ironmen last year with just a few seniors, and now a senior-laden team with experience in the playoffs makes Danville a very dangerous team, to say the least. But we also talked to him about how high school football, technically, for players getting started in the next few days with heat acclimation drills, something new the PIAA has added, and it is 3 days, consistently 3 days. You have to make it one after the other, and you gradually increase the pads and what the players can do in that time to try and help with the heat acclimation setup so that less players suffer from heat exhaustion and so forth. So that's one of the things that we chatted with Coach Jim Kaiser about. Their heat acclimation drills will start on Wednesday, and a lot of these teams have decided to go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and not lose any practice time, and the PIAA says that is okay. So we'll maybe get into that a little bit more. But the big story of the day happened in Major League Baseball today with 50-game suspensions for 12 players and a 214-game suspension for Alex Rodriguez. And A-Rod's the only one to now contest that suspension of 214 games. He will put in for arbitration hearing on that. That could take as much as 25 days to about a month before we finally hear. And one of the reasons he's doing it, as we said the last half hour, is because his career is going to end as a player if he doesn't. So at least this gets him maybe another 20 games or so in his career, a chance to make a couple of more paychecks. I'm sure he really doesn't need the money, but, you know, a couple of more paychecks. And, you know, maybe he gets away with a technicality somewhere along the line. And the bad part for him is I think all the evidence is now going to come out that Major League Baseball has against him. And I think it's a risk-reward type of thing for him, but I think he feels he has no other choice right now.
Well, I think he and his legal counsel probably think, Kevin, that what the heck, do we have to lose?
I mean, it's the only choice.
Yeah. I guess the concern was if he wants to roll the dice, he could end up with the proverbial death penalty of baseball, meaning banned for life.
And as a player, that's what he's looking for. I was just going to say, that's apparently off the table as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, but I think Major League Baseball is looking at this as, well, this is a death penalty for his baseball playing career.
Yeah. In a year and a half, the start of the 2015 season, he can at least walk into Yankee Stadium if he wanted to show his face there, and not like Pete Rose, who can't ever go in unless he gets special dispensation from the Commissioner of Baseball. By the way,
that hasn't happened yet.
Now, but, and by the way, I was just down in the basement here at the Sunbury Motors Studios taking Steve some food and water for the night.
There was no truth to the rumor that I have him in seclusion, just so I could take over the show. That is not true at all.
We also know that apparently he's not in Tahiti, but we haven't ruled out a very pleasant Caribbean island where he might be.
He might be on a cruise to one of those said islands.
Be.
I don't know.
So he's at least gone for the week and is said to reappear next Monday.
Yes, and he will be in next Monday, and that'll be an opportunity to talk again, about Penn State football in a little more detail as well. College football practices got started over the weekend for a lot of schools. And as I said a few moments ago, we'll have Joe Susan of the Bucknell Bison joining myself and Doug Birdsong tomorrow here on the Steve Jones Show. Today's Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find out what they can do for you by visiting them online at purdyinsurance.com. I had a couple of people during the break send an email, said, hey, who are some of the players that are involved? Well, there are about five or six players in this 50-game suspension that are on minor league rosters. De Los Santos is one of them, the Padres, former Padres pitcher. Also, Fernando Martinez, a Yankees outfielder, is actually a member of the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders. Mariners, Jesus Montero, who's a catcher, he's actually in Tacoma in the AAA affiliate. Jordan Niberto, he's actually a free agent. He's not even playing right now, so his 50-game suspension will actually happen
when he gets caught up.
Yes, when he gets signed. Johnny Peralta, one of the big names, all-star for the Tigers.
Yes.
He's actually out. Like I said, a few other guys that are in the minors right now. Everett Cabrera of the Padres. Francisco Cervilla, the Yankees catcher. He actually, I still think, is on the DL. And they didn't even expect him, I don't think, back. He went on in April, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And they didn't expect him back for the rest of the season.
And I don't believe he's at Scranton Wilkes-Barre either.
No. He's not on a rehab assignment at all. Nelson Cruz of the Rangers, outfielder, also on a 50-game suspension now without pay. And the biggest, the newest name that I think will be of interest to area fans besides the Yankees that are on this list is Antonio Bastardo of the Philadelphia Phillies. He will serve 50 games as well. And, you know, I was thinking, and I don't know if I said this in the last half hour or not, Bob, but I was thinking, you know, he wasn't that hot when the Phillies had him a couple of times there in the 10, 11, and 12. If he was actually working with Biogenesis, then that didn't say much for what they were doing, did it?
He ought to ask for his money back.
I think he needs a refund.
Somebody ought to. So we've got lots of stuff going on. We also have the NCAA apparently investigating last year's Heisman Trophy winner, known as Johnny Football from Texas A&M. He's a sophomore. Johnny Manziel apparently gave some autographs for money.
It would appear that way. And one of the things that's being discussed now, is that an NCAA violation? Well, if he actually did that and got money for it, it would be an NCAA violation. And looking back at what happened with signed jerseys, you're looking at possibly a 4-game suspension, which would be the Alabama game for Texas A&M, too. We'll chat more about that here in just a minute. But right now on the line with us from the Sealands Grove Seals Eagle 107 broadcast broadcast crew, Ryan Brandt, the color analyst for the Seals, joining us as we chat a little high school football. One of the things we can do on the Steve Jones Show when Steve is away is chat a little bit more about high school football. RB, the Seals, after a couple of years where they were, you know, just kind of on the cusp there of breaking through, now they have a little bit more experience under the belt, some of these young guys coming up. What does that mean for the Seals as a whole?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's great excitement right now in Sealands Grove. It's almost a feeling of we're back. You know, last year you got to see a lot of freshmen and sophomores step into positions, play big minutes, make big plays. And just from the beginning of the year, a 3-point win over Mifflinburg all the way to the end of the year, you know, deep in the state playoffs playing downtown Central Catholic, they grew so much. So whatever happened in this offseason, everyone in Sealands Grove is excited to see these kids on the field.
Ryan, we talked with Jim Kaiser last hour of the Danville Ironmen, and one of the things that I mentioned, there's a team that has a lot of seniors right now, actually came off of a big playoff run themselves with only a few seniors. Now they're going to be one of the teams to look at. Shikellamy is going to be a solid team in the conference as well. Is this one of the tightest Heartland conferences we've seen in a while as far as the way things look here in the preseason?
I think so. I think, like you said, I think Danville being a senior, you know, led team this year, they did very well last year. You know, got a big win over Sealands Grove at Danville last year. You know, and against Shikellamy should be pretty solid. And I tell you what, another team that, you know, really surprised some people here in this offseason at some of these camps is Milton. I've heard big talk of Milton, things going on there, kids really developing, stepping up. It sounds like they got their program going. So Yeah, I think right now the Heartland Athletic Conference, it's a pretty exciting conference, and this football season should be pretty fun to watch, probably right down to the last week.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Coach Goodwin and Milton. That was a team that I thought might be, in a rebuilding mode because of the senior-laden team they had last year. But, again, when you have success, as Milton has had the last couple of years, it gives you an opportunity to get some of these younger guys in the game. And, of course, as your season extends, so do the practices, and that helps a lot of these underclassmen. And you're seeing that a lot with Selins Grove over the last couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you what. Selins Grove is developing players right now. I mean, I can give you names of some kids. I mean, you think about last year, Selins Grove had Mike Walter and Harley Stahl. Those were two seniors last year that really led the way, especially early on and in the playoffs, making big plays, showing what leadership is about. Now, both those guys are gone. They've graduated. But I'll tell you what, they really paved the way for guys last year. And these are names you obviously know, like a Zach Adams and a Connor Leesenfield or a Javon Batts. They really showed these guys how to go at it, what kind of effort you have to put in, and how to lead the way.
Ryan, this is going to be a very difficult season from the way the schedule standpoint is, not from the talent. I mean, the talent, to say the least, is going to make it difficult on this schedule. But there are a lot of road games on this schedule, and some of them are kind of long road games for the Seals. How is Coach Hess going to get his team prepared for something like that?
But I'll tell you what, six road games. That's almost not fair, but I guess
yeah,
it wasn't
exactly
fair last year with six home games. But, I mean, that coaching staff is just filled with motivators and intelligent coaches. They know what they got to do. They'll have these kids prepared. A football field is 100 yards from goal line to goal line, no matter where you play. So I don't really think that'll be so much of an issue, especially with the confidence these kids are playing with. And I know some of these games, especially at Berwick, it's going to be, get back and get some redemption, come back and revenge a loss. So these kids are pumped up, fired, and they're ready to go.
What's the one position you think is going to be the key for this Selins Grove team, and not necessarily a make or break, but what's going to be their key position right now?
Without a doubt, the QB position. Last year they went back and forth with a senior, and then ultimately who ended up being the starter, sophomore last year, going to be a junior this year, and that's Isaiah Rapp. And that is probably the player that I am most excited about. Everyone's known about Isaiah's abilities. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's very confident in it, so confident, almost like a Brett Favre confident. He'll put it in any little window if he can. Now, last year, as a sophomore, that's a hard position to come in and take over a senior spot and try and get it done. He just never seemed comfortable. But what I've seen this year, even into summer league basketball, it's Isaiah's team now in a way. I mean, he feels more confident in his role and his position and what he's supposed to do. And I'll tell you right now, he's the kid to watch, I think, in Selins Grove. He's going to make big things happen.
Ryan, thanks again for taking a few minutes out. Bob Buhner joining us in the studio with a quick question as well.
Yeah, Ryan, one of the teams that's always played tough against the Seals in playoff games, Montoursville. What do you hear about the Warriors this year?
Oh, man, you had to ask me that. I don't really know.
Okay.
Well, it's going
to
be a team.
I'm sure Kevin knows.
Well, it's going to be a team, Ryan, that a lot of these Division I teams in the Heartland Conference are going to look at, because Montoursville is going to move to Division I next year. So a lot of these teams are going to have to take a look at Montoursville this year and get prepared. And some of these teams haven't seen them since probably the old CSC days.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry about that. One thing I can tell you about Montoursville, and Kevin will agree with this, year in and year out, I don't care what their record is, they come at you and they play hard-nosed football.
They
are
find
very
players.
Physical. Yeah, they do. They make things happen. It's just something about that school. And I think they've been that, even when I was back in school in the 90s and early 2000s, they've just always been a solid team.
It just seems, when I think about rivals of Selins Grove, that besides Mifflinburg and probably Danville and Shikellamy, but somehow that Selins Grove Montoursville thing was always in the playoffs and just great battles through the years. And it's kind of quiet up there in Lycoming County, so I get a little worried when it gets quiet up there.
Yeah, the last time I saw Montoursville play, that was in 2009. I believe that was either the last or next to last game of the season. And Montoursville, I got to hand it to him a little bit there, but that was also a state title team for Selins Grove. But yeah, Selins Grove battles and some upsets. Montoursville has upset some really good Selins Grove teams in the back. in the back in the day. And same way with Seals Grove. They've upset some good Montoursville teams.
That's what I thought. That was sort of the hallmark of those games. Now, the Berwick game is what week of the season?
Kevin, you got the schedule in front of you, buddy?
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I will. So stretch for me a little bit. Where you are, B?
I believe it's in the middle of the season. I don't think it matters what week it is. That is a revenge game. I don't care. You won't hear it from the coaching staff, but you'll hear it from me. That was the one where Curry had the game wrapped up. All he had to do was kneel on the ball with 30-some seconds left, and he used three downs to tack that 7 extra points up on the board. That has not been forgotten, I guarantee it. That was the worst thing he could have done for the next season game is make Seals Grove football players mad because they're going to focus on that. Yeah, that was in their head in the offseason.
That Berwick game comes up on the 27th of September. And when you look at just take a quick look at this schedule. Mifflinburg is going to be a challenge. That's going to be the game that opens it up. Then it's at Trinity, at Shikellamy, Shamokin at home, at Berwick, at Southern, Milton at home, then at Jersey Shore, at Mount Carmel, and then Danville at home. That's a nasty schedule as well.
That is an incredible schedule.
Yeah, there's nothing new there. Seals Grove always plays a tough schedule, but, man, that's a lot on the road. It just seems even more this year. But, hey, if you're going to be the best in the state, you got to beat the best in the state no matter where you play. So I always like a tough schedule. You really find out a lot about your team.
Well, this will be a year then they're going to really find out about the team. I mean, Trinity, Mount Carmel, Berwick, these are names that have tradition going back not just years but decades. So,
yeah,
wow.
That's big football programs there.
Sure is.
Ryan, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Ryan Brand of the Selins Grove Seals broadcast on Eagle 107. He'll be joined by Pat O'Brien in the, well, I'd like to say fall, but it's actually late August now, Ryan.
Yeah, August 30th.
Yeah, it is.
Ryan's been ready for this since pretty much November, since Thanksgiving.
I am. I'm on vacation now, too.
Yes.
You guys got me in the middle of my vacation. I'm in Orlando right now, Universal Studios.
Are you in a line to get into a ride, and what ride is it?
No, I'm outside of the lines now. I rode my rides this morning just so I could get on the radio and talk football with you guys.
I'm telling you, that's dedication right there.
Well, have a safe trip back.
I'm excited. Yep. Thank you very much. Thanks. You guys have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Brandt, again, of Eagle 107, Selins Grove Seals broadcast, the color analyst, along with Pat O'Brien, will be your home for Seals football again at Eagle 107 and eagle107.com.
That is an incredible schedule
yeah.
that he just announced. I mean, there are teams in there that obviously have great rivalries with Selins Grove. They may not be the best teams, but Mifflinburg plays them tough all the time.
Well, you know, Bob, we talked about, you had asked about Montoursville, and I alluded to the fact that the alignments are going to change for 2014-2015. We're going to talk a little bit about the alignment changes next year, not this year, but coming up next year in just a moment. Also coming up in the next half hour, we'll talk about Johnny Manziel, a little more details on what he may have done wrong or what might not have been done wrong. We'll have to just see what happens and what the NCAA decides to do, because let's face it, it is the NCAA, and, well, we're really not sure what they're going to do when they start dueling out punishments and stuff.
Yeah, they don't even know what they're going to do.
But again, this is the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr along with Bob Buehner in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find them online at purdyinsurance.com. We'll have more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Let the sizzle and summer sales event get you fired up with a 2011 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan with a new set of tires, $12,491. 2005 Dodge Dakota four-door quad cab, $12,995. 2008 Honda Accord four-door LX, $13,998. 2009 Dodge Journey four-wheel drive SXT, $14,995. 2011 Ford Escape, four-wheel drive XLT, $16,994. 2010 Ford Explorer, Eddie Bauer Edition, $24,995. And a like-new 2012 Ford F-150 XLT, just $33,000.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Back to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Hurt, Bob Buehner in the Sunbury Motors studio today as we chat a little high school football in this half hour. Ryan Brand of the Sealands Grove Seals broadcasts on Eagle 107 joining us moments ago. If you missed it, you can hear the podcast at stevejonesshow.com a little bit later on tonight. Jim Kaiser, the Danville Ironman, joined us in the first half hour, in the 3 o'clock hour, and you can hear that again at stevejonesshow.com. One of the things I alluded to, Bob, was the division realignment in the Heartland Conference for next year. Montoursville, currently in Division II, will move up to Division I.
Yeah.
And Danville, which is a double-A team anyway, will move back to Division II, will move backwards to Division II and join the double-A schools with the exception of Southern Columbia. So you have Warrior Run, Mount Carmel, Lewisburg, Danville, Central, and Southern all in Division II. And then Division I will remain the same with Montoursville now coming in. And one of the things that I think the reasons they did this was the fact that Danville, playing all the triple-A schools, were getting bonus points in the double-A District 4 bracket. So if Danville was successful, they were almost a lock for the number one seed in District 4. And Lewisburg was like, and Lewisburg and Mount Carmel were like, oh, wait a minute, we don't play enough triple-A schools.
Right.
So, I mean, Mount Carmel plays a few. I think they probably play more than Lewisburg does even.
Yeah, I think that's right.
On the triple-A schedule. But and that was their argument. So this is the right move by far. And there's also, I think there's a change in Division 3 as well for football. Let's see, Warrior Run, Bloomsburg, Hughesville, Southside, Muncie, Montgomery. It'll be Hughesville, Loyal Sock, Southside, Bloomsburg, Muncie, and Montgomery.
Well, I can just say this. Circle week 10 of the high school season, that's Danville traveling to Sealands Grove.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
going to be a big game at the end of the year with a lot on lot at stake.
And by the way, I don't think there is a change in Division III. I think they just jumbled up the names.
Well, by the way, Steve Jones still tied up in the basement of the WKOK studios.
That is not true.
He'll be back in 6 days and 22 and a half hours.
I'm glad you're counting. Thanks. I appreciate it. News is next on the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
Notice, Bob, how I'm slowly taking over the program now. Do you like it?
I think
is that subtle?
I wouldn't say subtle.
You wouldn't say subtle?
I'd say it's pretty direct. You know, I just heard that promo for the Evan Hospital golf tournament.
Right.
I think Steve ought to come down and play in that. You know,
it's a thought.
I think he ought to get down here. Leave the chateau in State College on it's a Friday, August 16th. Reasonable price. I would be available this time to caddy.
Because he doesn't like what I tell him to play.
Exactly, and I wouldn't tell him anything because I don't have a clue. But notice they said that both breakfast and dinner were included, which you know
that's
we all
reason
know
enough right there.
Steve and food are just. Yeah. Joined at the hip, so to use a bad analogy.
That's reason enough to go right there.
I think we ought to sign him up.
All right, I'll have to look into that. That's not a bad idea.
Well, why don't we just sign him up and tell him later
and
when he gets
tell
back,
him later. That's
when
right.
he gets back from his undisclosed location.
This is the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr along with Bob Buehner today, filling in for Steve, who's on vacation this week from the Sunbury Motor Studio. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio East. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf for the Kia dealership. And today's program sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find out what they can do for you at purdyinsurance.com. Boy, they're getting a good value today with all the stuff that we've been able to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've talked a little high school football. We're going to talk about Johnny Manziel's situation here in a few seconds, recapping what's been going on in Major League Baseball. If you've been living under a rock or maybe you've been working all day and you haven't been able to listen in, hey, finally, about 3 o'clock came down with all the suspensions. There are 12 players with a 50-game suspension. And all except Alex Rodriguez will serve 50 games. He's going to serve 214 games, which is the rest of this year and all of next year. And one of the things we hadn't really talked about, Bob, is something that Dr. Richard Besser is talking about right now. It's not necessarily steroids as the only performance-enhancing drugs that Major League Baseball is going after right now?
The World Anti-Doping Agency lists over 100 drugs that are banned from competition. These include things like steroids, growth factors, pain relievers, masking agents so that you can't detect any of these drugs, and stimulants.
And see, that's the thing that I think gets lost a little bit is the masking agents. And this is something I was listening to John Kruk last night on ESPN in the Phillies game. And one thing that he was kind of alluding to is the more that they work on getting these masking agents, the harder they'll work at trying to create new masking agents. That's a really depressing thought as a baseball fan.
Yeah, there's lots of chemists apparently at work in this business of finding things that you can use to hide substances. One of the things, I forget what seed it is, that local marijuana users, when I was a prosecutor, they would always chew on these things because it would mask, so that everyone was told.
Maybe
it would
you
mask
should mention
the effects.
What it is.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it on the air, but that was one of the ways people tried to get out of being charged with possession of drugs or using drugs, especially in a driving under the influence situation. They'd say, well, gee, I chewed on 10 pounds of sesame seeds or whatever it was. That's why I'm testing positive. You know, that kind of silliness.
And by the way, I hadn't mentioned this. If you'd like to chime in on this conversation, toll-free lines open at 800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The players receiving 50-game suspensions without pay. One of the new names on the list, Phillies pitcher Antonio Bastardo. San Diego Padres shortstop Everett Cabrera, Yankees catcher Francisco Cervilla, the Rangers outfielder Nelson Cruz. As you can hear, there's a couple of all-stars in this list.
Yes.
There is De Los Santos, a Pirates pitcher who's now in double-A ball. There's another pitcher that formerly of the Astros in the double-A ball. Fernando Martinez, a Yankees outfielder right now, on the roster of the AAA Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders, the Mariners catcher Jesus Montero in AAA Tacoma, free agent pitcher Jordan Norberto, who actually will serve his suspension when he signs with another organization. You know, that could be, I'm going to look at that real quick, Bob. That's something we really hadn't talked about. When you look at that particular suspension, that could be a career suspension right there, because there's 50 games. You're going to sign a guy right now, and he's not going to play for 50 games.
Yeah, there's no incentive to sign somebody like that. You know, one of the things that occurred to me, we've talked about, and I'm sure it's been commented across the social media, is why is A-Rod going after an arbitration hearing and not just taking his lumps? It might be that he is, and his legal counsel are saying, if we go to arbitration, we can make an argument that we should only get 50 games like suspension, like the 12 others that are in the same boat, and we should not be subject to the 200-plus game suspension. In other words, it's what we know call in the legal profession an equal protection law. In other words, the law should apply equally to everybody in the same classification.
Well, and the discussion with that from Major League Baseball and the sources close to famous words in media, sources close to Major League Baseball say that the reason that his suspension is longer is because there's also allegations of tampering and maybe leading guys to this sure. Biogenesis place and also maybe even trying to derail the investigation as well. So those are some strong accusations. And if he does, as we said earlier in the hour, if he does indeed, which it appears as though he will contest this and take it to arbitration, all that's going to come out. So we'll find out what Major League Baseball knew.
And the other thing is, the question is, as you said, was he the guy who was
the catalyst, the central
player in this, and did he encourage others to go down there? Because only the people that the other 12 suspended players will know that, and if they've all agreed to their punishment, I would think part of the reason they only got 50 games is because they cooperated. One of the things that would come to my mind is that they cooperated and gave written statements under oath that said, yeah, we talked to A-Rod. He's the one who turned us on to this place. Now, that's speculation, but that may be the reason why it's such a disparate, you know, it's his penalty's four times greater than anybody else's.
And that's one of the discussions with Fernando Martinez, who is now an outfielder with the Houston Astros at the time of the violation. He's now with the Yankees, assigned to AAA Wilkes-Barre. We mentioned him just a few moments ago. He actually has said that, you know, he wasn't even a Yankee at that particular time. So, you know, it wasn't A-Rod that sent him that way. But what about Francisco Sevilla? Here's a guy who is a Yankee and was a Yankee at that time. And he actually insisted that the recommendation to visit the clinic didn't come from an agent or another player, that he never spoke with A-Rod about the clinic at all. As a matter of fact, he's not even looked at as one who had taken anything from the clinic, but the fact that he visited the clinic and consulted with Biogenesis after a foot injury in 11, but didn't receive any treatment from the facility, that's the reason he's getting 50 games. Now, that tells me that Major League Baseball, this is just my opinion, Major League Baseball has said, we've had enough. This has to end now. Yeah. I don't care if you took it or not. You were at a place that did it, and now we're gonna start punishing guys for even thinking about it.
Reminds me of what Bill Clinton said at one point when asked if he used marijuana, and he said he didn't inhale.
Inhale, right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, I was there, and it was in the room, but I didn't inhale.
One of the reports that came out last week that really had me concerned was parents, dads, taking their high school players to high school seniors to this Biogenesis place. That's a really disturbing one. One of the names we didn't bring up, Bob, that I should, is the Detroit Tigers shortstop and all-star Johnny Peralta. That's a big name on this list.
Yeah, like I said,
that's a big loss.
That's a big penalty. That's a pennant-affecting suspension, I think.
I think you're right. I think that does. And this is something that I think Kruk was talking about last night as well on ESPN's broadcast of Sunday Night Baseball. He said, you know, this is not punishing just the player now. This is the player, and I even believe, and I'm paraphrasing here, he kind of used the term selfishness of the player now affecting the entire team.
There's, you know, as you know, and everybody listening to us on WKOK knows, there's big money to be made in the postseason. And lots of players have incentives in their contracts that say if they get into the postseason, these players will get more money. And if you lose a Johnny Peralta and you don't make it, we're talking real dollars there. And to the owners, to the washroom attendant in the locker room, you know, they divide up those shares that they get for postseason play. So there's lots of money at stake. And if you lose your star shortstop, well, guess what? It's going to be a lot more difficult to get into the playoffs and ultimately the World Series without a guy like Johnny Peralta. So there's a lot of money at stake, and I can see a lot of players being really annoyed.
Let's talk about a little bit different spelled name, Johnny.
Johnny, man, Johnny Football from Texas A&M, Heisman Trophy freshman award winner. Kevin apparently is in a bit of a pickle right now.
Well, let me ask you this. Last year at this time, had you heard that name?
No,
I haven't either. And I'm not what you would call, you know, knee deep in sports constantly in my life. But he would not have been somebody I could have picked out of a lineup.
He would
now.
He would be what they call in the media an unheralded athlete.
Right. Well,
which is another way of saying, who the heck is this guy?
He's now become notorious.
Yes, exactly.
with some issues. And you know, I've heard a lot of you know, even Dan Patrick talking about,
yes,
you know,
he was kind
of having a silver spoon. And getting his way and living a provided for charmed style life, and now it's starting to show a little bit. I don't know about that, but this latest allegation coming Sunday from ESPN.
Yes,
the allegation that he actually took payment for signing memorabilia in January during bowl season.
Yeah, he was down apparently in Miami, and a noted sports memorabilia collector and seller of same. He went to his house and was signing his name, this is the allegation, to mini helmets and jerseys and other sports related things, probably a few shirts and jerseys, etc., signing his name after he had won the Heisman Trophy, and he was doing so for cash. And boy, there's a big side of me that says, so what?
That's not the way the NCAA has
been
looking
at it. Looks
at it. That's the problem. I agree with you. Why not?
Because, you know, he's not allowed, as a college Division I scholarship player, he can't have a job on campus. He's not allowed to work as, you know, the rest of the student body can. He doesn't get any money for pizza. He doesn't get any money to get home. You know, he gets his scholarship, his room and board, etc. But the extra money that other college kids have, if you're a Division I scholarship athlete doesn't come your way.
Well, but I'm, you know, we've talked about this many times with Steve as well, and you can go back to the podcast at stevejonesshow.com, and you know exactly where Steve stands on this. He feels that the scholarship is enough of a payment.
Yes.
I believe in a little bit of a walking around money, as the Big Ten commissioner has said, the Big Ten chair also said. But now, that beside the point, if you're making a name on your name and signing on your name, you know, there might be an open door there in the future. However, the NCAA has already said that that's not going to be allowed. Georgia's A.J. Green lost four games for selling one of his jerseys for a grand.
Yeah.
You know, you've had signed
Ohio
jerseys.
State.
Yeah, Ohio State's another one. You know, and if he lied to investigators, that's even going to make it worse. Now, we're speculating.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't even know if they've even talked to him at this point in time. But it seems to me that you own your name.
I would think so. Well, you know, here's the thing, Bob. I think this is going to, the decision here might actually impact some impending lawsuits against the NCAA now.
The NCAA, this isn't the first time they look at this. They think that they own college athletes. As a matter of fact, there's a couple video games that are widely circulated that use the images and statistics of NCAA players, and the NCAA is making boku dollars off of it.
And so is EA Sports.
And the EA Sports is as well, because people like to play these games. But the images are of college athletes who are now otherwise adults, who never got compensated for the use of their images and the use of their statistics. So, you know, it's all about money when it comes down to the very end. Let me just give you a quick story. I have a friend that Kevin and Steve Jones know of, who's in the NFL, and I've been to his house. And during the playoffs a few years ago, he got up on a Saturday morning before the big game with his team and to go to the Super Bowl, and he got paid a five-figure sum to sign 300 bits of memorabilia with his name and number on it, no questions asked. And he sold he was featured in a Sports Illustrated McDonald's ad, for which he got midway between five and six figures for lending his name and his face and a little bit of his story for a full-page McDonald's ad. Nothing wrong with that.
That's called, you know, entrepreneurism to me.
Absolutely.
But when you're a college player, they're not going to let you do that. And here's the big problem. Number one, if he lied to the NCAA about it, that's going to be a big punishment right there.
Sure.
If he didn't and just accepted the five figures that's being discussed, if a four-game suspension comes out for $1,000, what is it going to be if he got 10 grand or 100 grand? I mean, if that's the case. Now, again, no information is brought forward as fact. It's all being investigated by the NCAA. And let's face it, the NCAA is not always consistent or investigates things very well either.
What we're seeing is a lot of rampant speculation. This is what I call the tall poppy syndrome, which is a phrase that came from Australia, is that people tend to chop down the tallest poppy or the most successful person. So Johnny Manziel comes out of nowhere, wins the Heisman Trophy, and everything he does in public or in private is heavily scrutinized with an idea of chopping him down to size in the media.
Well, and he's had some issues already, and anytime he stumbles, I mean, and literally, I mean, stumbles over a pebble.
Yes.
It is magnified into a boulder.
And it's on Facebook and every other social media. And you know, he's a kid. He's, what, 19 years old, maybe 20 at the most?
Can you imagine what it's like in College Station right now as practice is going on?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, whether he did this or not, the whole team is going to be affected by this. If for instance, he is suspended for even a minimum of four games, it's definitely going to be that Alabama game.
And you know, that was the game that Texas A&M, with Johnny at the helm, upset Alabama and knocked their national championships hopes right off the table.
Well, you'll have a couple of seconds to call in at 1-800-795-9565, 800-795-9565 if you want to chime in. We'll wrap things up in just a few moments. This is the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr, Bob Buhner in the Sunbury Motors studio today for the vacationing Steve Jones. I just got a call from Rob from Northumberland. Said, hey, I thought you said something about Shikellamy. We're trying to reschedule Todd Tilford. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get him on the line today, so we're trying to catch him maybe tomorrow, hopefully, and get some idea of the Shikellamy Braves. Again, I think you're going to be one of the teams that are going to be contending in the Heartland and in the district.
I think Todd has a real challenge, you know, to turn around an attitude that's been in this Shikellamy program. And if anyone can turn it around and create a winning environment, I think it's Todd Tilford. He's demonstrated that at Lewisburg quite convincingly.
And a veteran at quarterback again this year in Garrett Kemberling, so it'll be very entertaining there. I see some solid running backs. Really good, I think, a good offensive line. Again, this is going to be a team that I think is one of the better teams in the conference as well. But in the conference as a whole, it's going to be really tough. I mean, there's going to be a lot of good teams in the conference this year. Maybe one of the best since I think the Heartland Conference was founded. That's just my opinion.
I think you're right, and but it remains to be seen if it plays out on the field. A couple quick pointers, Kevin.
Sure.
I want to talk about this being the year that I finally remove the words long-suffering from my recitation of being a Pirates fan.
Well, you hope.
They're going to cross what Pittsburgh fans call the Mendoza line. Which is getting a winning season, named after the infamous Mario Mendoza, who never hit more than 200. So 81 games is the Mendoza line.
Hey, listen, I have taken the trip out the turnpike and turned my P from white to a yellow one with black background. So my P on my hat now has changed a little bit.
And I've been since 71, when the Pirates and Roberto Clemente beat the Baltimore. I was at the series in 79 when Captain Willie and Ed Ott from Muncie beat Baltimore in seven games. And then 91, I was around for those in Pittsburgh, and I haven't been able to go to a playoff game or even see a winning season then. But this is the year for the Pirates, and they're going to cross the Mendoza line in a couple weeks. Finally, another thing, Kevin, have you talked about Mike Muscala at all?
Yes, we talked about that last week, and I do have a message into him. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him before he heads on the other side of the pond.
Yeah, he's going to be in Spain. And
if he hasn't already.
Yeah, he may be there. So that was a big news story, a second-round draft pick, and thousands of people here in the central Susquehanna have watched Mike play for the Bison, you know, for four great years, and I think people are actively following his career, and it's taken a rather interesting twist.
And Wednesday will be a best of Steve Jones, and we will be talking, having our conversation with Mike Muscala right after he was drafted, and we'll also have Coach Dave Paulson, who was with Mike when he got drafted.
And, you know,
both those interviews on Wednesday.
A great, articulate young man.
Bob, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
You're
welcome,
Kevin.
Good seeing you again.
Let's untie Kevin or Steve out of the basement.
No,
now.
He's got another 4 days. Yeah,
all right.
It's coming up tomorrow. Doug Birdsong will be my guest, and of course, Joe Susan will be here as well to talk about Bison football. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Online at stevejonesshow.com. If you missed any of the show, on the podcast. Talk to you tomorrow.